Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Jim Potts back on the air, and thank you so much once again for sharing your Sunday evening or afternoon with me. I really do appreciate that. I know you could be doing some other things, but I just always like to say thank you because I do appreciate it. All right, listen, today we're going to be talking about a number of things. You know, the month of December is, believe it or not, a very sad month. And that was a month of holidays and the Christmas events that are coming up. But it's also a month to remember that there were two major shootings in this country in December. The first one was Sandy Hook. You might remember that one. And then the second one was the first San Bernardino killing. So we're going to talk about both of those to kind of give you a recap on those particular events. And, you know, I like to do that only because, you know, for those of you that have heard me in my training, I've talked about the fact that as Americans we become too complacent and we forget these things. So I think that when these different anniversaries come up, it's good to just remind people of the situations that we've been in and not to forget that we could be in them moving forward as well. And before I forget, listen, if you have any questions or you want to call in with any comments, give me a call at 818-602-4929. Again, that's 818-602-4929. And I'll be repeating that from time to time throughout the broadcast here. Or you can send me emails if people have done it. Listen up with JP at PottsandAssociates.com. And as a reminder, if you want to get my blogs or email blasts about upcoming show topics, text POTS Associates to 22828 and enter your email. Again, text POTS Associates and text that to 22828 and then enter your email address, and then you'll get the topics, you know, about the upcoming shows and things of that nature. Okay, having taken care of those few household matters, let's keep moving. I want to read an email to you. Jim, I saw in the news about the woman who had a concealed carry permit and shot and killed an escaped inmate who broke into her home. Now, given your previous position on CCWs, what are your thoughts on this situation? I mean, if she did not have a gun, that guy may have killed her. And this one's signed, Just Curious. Okay, Just Curious. First of all, yes, I am very familiar with that situation. It actually took place in South Carolina. And the story behind that, for people who don't know, is that apparently there was an escaped prisoner from the Pickens County Prison, and he apparently had physically assaulted two guards and actually escaped. So when he escaped, he actually, I think what he was in jail for was that he was for a charge of sexual conduct with a minor. So this guy was already in a situation where he was a bad guy. And basically the female owner that you're talking about, yes, it's true, she had a concealed carry permit. But now, she was home alone at the time of the break-in. So let's just talk about that. First of all, that had nothing to do with a CCW. I mean, she may have had training on how to use a gun because she went through the CCW process. But the realities are the person broke into her home. And in your home, you don't really need a CCW. I would always profess that if you're going to have a gun in your home, you need to be proficient with that as a weapon, because you want to be able to use it properly in the event that something happens. And this particular situation, it's true. The escaped prisoner, in fact, broke into this lady's home, and she shot him. And from what I understand, I think she was a pretty good shot, because I think she shot him in the head, quite frankly. And that means that she has taken the lessons and she became proficient with her weapon. But just because she had a CCW doesn't necessarily mean that she couldn't have had a gun in her home. She could have already had the gun. It doesn't matter. So my feeling about CCWs really hasn't changed. We really haven't talked on the air about having guns in your home, and I personally don't have any issue with that as long as the safeguards are there, because we want to make sure that our children don't have access to these weapons, because as we've also have seen where children have died accidentally in their homes with weapons. But also some of these children that have become child shooters at the school attacks have at access to their parents' weapons and things of that nature. So, yes, I fully agree. She was in a situation. She was obviously proficient with her weapon, and she was able to save her own life under those circumstances. So, hey, my kudos goes out to her. I don't have an issue with that. But I just want to clarify, it wasn't because she had a CCW, because she was in her home. Okay, just curious. Hope that answers it. I hope that answers it for you. Okay, let's take a look at this second email. Mr. Potts, I read your blog from last Monday. Now, for those of you who are not aware, I write a blog every Monday for about the last, probably about 8 years now. And every Monday I'm putting things out, not necessarily regarding the domestic terrorism things, but I do put things on there regarding safety and being safe, et cetera, from time to time as well. It's more geared toward business managers and supervisors, business owners, et cetera, with some of the laws that are coming out. So I did have an article on that blog, and that's what that person is referring to. So anybody that wants to get on my blog list to get the emails every Monday about things that I talk about in general that has to do with the work environment, you can just go to our website, which is www.pottsandassociates.com. And I'll repeat that. That's www.pottsandassociates.com. And you can go in there and look for Listen Up in terms of the blog. And you can always sign up for the blog, and then you'll be getting the blogs and information I'm putting out weekly. Again, it's not necessarily associated with the domestic terrorism piece that I'm talking about. But at any rate, this individual is saying that they read the blog from last Monday, and I see you wrote about a business owner who gave out guns as Christmas gifts to his employees. I thought that was insane. Can't he be sued if they kill someone? And assign William. Well, William, I have to tell you, the blog article did address that. And for the people that obviously have not read the blog, it has to do with the fact that one employer had decided to give a gift to all of his employees. And this, by the way, this company was located in Wisconsin. And he decided the best gift to give all of his staff was a handgun. And he felt that way because he felt it would promote personal safety and team building. I'm not sure about the team building part. Personal safety, I get. But I guess from a team building standpoint, he thought if they were all armed and something happened, maybe they could operate as a team. I don't know. Now, he did say that most of the employees were excited at the prospect of receiving their handgun. However, one employee felt that she felt empowered by the gift, which she believes would make her safe. But then there were other people who apparently did not like the idea of receiving this gun as a gift until after they took their classes, because he even paid for them to take classes, apparently. And after they took the classes, they were more comfortable with the guns. Now, William, to answer your question more directly, I'm not an advocate of passing out guns to employees as gifts, that's for sure. And your question is whether or not he could be subject to some liability. Well, who knows? I mean, plaintiff attorneys out there or families of people out there that if this person uses that gun, whether it's in the work environment or away from the work environment, whatever the case may be, and they're the ones that gave him the guns, you just never know. I mean, we live in a country that people love to sue each other. So I think he's exposing himself to liability. I hope nothing ever happens. But yes, to answer your question, I do think that he's exposing himself to liability. And again, this is, Wisconsin. Not sure of all the laws out there, but from a liability standpoint, civil litigation standpoint, or if they accidentally kill somebody with that weapon in an inappropriate manner for an inappropriate reason, who knows? All right. So no, I would not profess clients giving out guns to their employees for Christmas for sure. Now, that same blog article, by the way, for the listeners, I did put a note in there as a reminder that because you're going to be shopping, it's the Christmas holidays, if you're in the malls, there's going to be more people. So just remember, malls are becoming the soft targets. So be careful when you're at the malls. For those of you that have gone through my active shooter training, just keep in mind the tips that I've given you and be careful. All right. Because, again, it's the holidays. Later on the show, I'm going to be talking about the 10 most common holiday crimes that get committed as well. So I'll be doing that later in the show. Okay, the third email. And I always like to do three. Jim, you talk a lot about the deaths and injuries to children because of school shootings, but there are so many other concerns that we face as parents. Violent crimes against children and online predators. Could you speak out on this issue? Thanks. A concerned parent is how it was signed. Actually, yes, I'm going to do that. That'll be toward the end of the show as well, and I will get to it. And if I don't get to it for some reason, then I will use that as the opening for next week. Okay? All right. Let's remember what happened on December 14th in 2012. That was Sandy Hook. And it took place in Newtown, Connecticut. It was an elementary school. The perpetrator was Adam Lanzer. He killed 20 first graders and 6 school employees. Did you hear that? 20 first graders. The average age of those kids were 6 and 7. 6 and 7 years old. Now, that shooting at the time was the second deadliest mass shooting in the United States after the 2007 shooting at Virginia Tech. If you remember that one, the gunman killed 32 students and teachers before committing suicide. Now, in this particular case, just for you to remember, that shooting at Sandy Hook took place at about 9:30 in the morning. Lanza shot through the plate glass window next to Sandy Hook's locked front entrance. So they had the entrance locked, and he shot through the glass to get in. That's how he gained access. Now, hearing that noise, the school principal and school psychologist went to investigate, and they were shot and killed by him almost immediately. And yes, he was armed with a semi-automatic rifle, 2 semi-automatic pistols, and multiple rounds of ammunition. Now, he was shot and wounded by Lance was also shot and wounded two other staff members at that time as well. So you could see the picture. He shoots through the glass doors. He enters into the building. The first two come out to see what's going on. And from what I recall, by the way, those two individuals actually gave their lives, because what they did was shout that there was a shooter and told everybody to lock down. That's what they were screaming when they first saw him. So some of the people that were actually able to hear that were actually able to run for cover, et cetera, and hide out. Now, after he shot them, he then went into the two first grade classrooms. There was 2 of those. And then he gunned down the 2 teachers and 15 students in one room and 2 teachers and 5 students in the other first grade classroom. He murdered 12 girls and 8 boys. 12 girls and 8 boys. 12 first grade raiders from the 2 classes survived. 6 and 7 years old people. Now, when the police learned that something earlier that morning, before they arrived at Sandy Hook, I'll tell you what they found out. First of all, Lanzer, I just want to mention to you, killed himself. When he heard the police closing in on him, he killed himself in a classroom at approximately 9:40. So think about something. 9:30, shortly after 9:30 is when he entered that building. By 9:40, he had committed suicide. That means in 10 minutes, in just those few minutes, that's how many people he killed. This is what makes school shooting so horrible. But at any rate, that's just, you know, what had happened. Those were the facts. Now, just as a reminder for those of you who do not recall, but they found out that before he went to Sandy Hook, he killed his 52-year-old mother in their home, and she was the one that owned the weapons that he used in his deadly rampage. So that goes back to what I was saying a moment ago about how kids have access to these weapons, like the lady in South Carolina. She did the right thing. You know, she protected herself. I get that. But I still send the message out that if you're going to have these weapons in your homes, they still have to be secured. Here's a situation where she probably never suspected that her child would do something like this. So the guns weren't secured. And he took all of those weapons that she owned. That was a lot of weapons. I don't want to say for a lady to own, because I don't want to get all the hate mail, but I'm just saying, just in general, that was a lot of weapons. And it was apparently just him and his mother. His father, I believe, had passed away sometime before that. So he have all of these weapons. He took them and he went up to Sandy Hook. So that was a sad time in our history. It was in, like I said, in 2012, in December. But I want to tell you something else, though, that you may not be aware, is that there was also some conspiracy theories out there. regarding the Sandy Hook situation. Now, the sad part about it is that every time some of these incidents happen in this country, people always want to bring out the conspiracies about things. So there was one conspiracy theory that alleged the shooting was a hoax. It was a hoax and a false flag operation staged by the United States government, if you're ready for that one. They're saying that the attack was being used by politicians to push through new gun control or to persecute gun owners and survivalists. Now, of course, these are just theories. One talk show host, this guy by the name of Clyde Lewis, wrote, "Don't you find it at all interesting that Adam Lanza, the alleged shooter now at Sandy Hook, woke up one day and decided to shoot up a school and kill children at about the same time that Barack Obama told the UN that he would sign the Small Arms Treaty?" So these conspiracy theories, people, you know, they're out there. I can't say anything. I'm not going to criticize them one way or another. But come on, some of this can be looked at as being ridiculous. This kid had issues, there's no doubt about it. And he did do what he did. And I can tell you, with all of the work that I've done and the research I've done on these things, there are reasons people do these things. And he's right. He didn't just wake up one morning and do that. But he's making it seem like there was something else that was staged and planned. But trust me when I tell you, these kids, they normally plan these things out beforehand. They really do. And I don't want to get into that. You heard the episode I did on Why Kids Kill. Go back to that episode. It was a two-week episode. And look at some of the reasons why that particular theorist on the conspiracy, in my opinion, is incorrect. Now, there was another one, which was Alex Jones. He also had a conspiracy. And, you know, he had previously claimed that the murders were a false flag attack perpetrated by the government, and that he made a new conspiracy claim that no one died at Sandy Hook. So he's trying to say none of that's true. And he's saying nobody died at Sandy Hook because, I guess, is what he did. They went back and looked at the county records, and it didn't show any murders in Newton for 2012, and that the victims were child actors. That they were actually child actors. And, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, the claim is false and misrepresents the FBI report because that information is there. And all of the individuals that got killed, I mean, if you just go on the internet, you'll see the list. I don't want to go through the list of all the children that were killed. But, you know, these conspiracy theories and things of that nature, look, that's the nation we live in. Everything is a conspiracy. Any rate, that's kind of the recap on the Sandy Hook situation. Wanted to give you that, like I said, in remembrance of what happened down there. But more importantly, please let's not forget. Now, again, these were children. It was a Sandy Hook Elementary School, December 2012. Now, there was another bad attack in December, and that was on December 2nd. 2015, so 3 years later. In that particular situation, you may remember, it was the attack where 14 people were killed and 22 others were seriously injured. And that they considered a terrorist attack consisting of a mass shooting and an attempted bombing at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, California. Now, the perpetrators were Farouk, okay, and Malik. They were a married couple, if you remember. And they were, at the time, they were living in the city of Redlands, and they targeted the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health training event and Christmas party where there were about 80 employees in a rented banquet room. Now, Farouk, the male, he was a United States-born citizen. He was of Pakistani descent, and he worked there, all right? He was actually a health department employee. His wife, Malik, was a Pakistani-born lawful permanent resident of the United States. Now, they did what they did. The story behind what they did was that he was there earlier in the day at a before the party even began, and they felt that something happened earlier. He arrived at the party. He was kind of removed off to himself before he did all of this. But I can tell you that after the shooting, and we'll get back to the shooting in a moment, but after the shooting, the couple fled. They had a rented sports utility vehicle. And then 4 hours later, the police pursued their vehicle and killed them in a shootout. So you may remember that. So at least, you know, they were caught. And as a result, they ultimately paid for their crime with their lives. Now, I will tell you that according to the FBI's investigation, these two individuals, perpetrators we'll call them, they were considered homegrown violent extremists, and they were in fact inspired by foreign terrorist groups. They were not directed by such groups. So even though at the time they were saying whether or not ISIS was involved or whatever, they weren't part of any terrorist cell or network either. So just to let you know that. And the investigators have said that both Farouk and Malik had become radicalized over several years prior to the attack. And the way that they did that? On the internet. The internet. See, this is what we talk about on some of the previous shows when we talk about kids having access. Now, these were adults, I get that. But we've heard on the internet, on the news before, that when in fact people have become radicalized over the internet. And I'm talking about adults and I'm talking about children. And these were perfect examples of that. Now, Farouk and Malik had traveled to Saudi Arabia, so they even took it even further in the years before the attack. And they had actually amassed a large stockpile of weapons, ammunition, and bomb-making equipment in their home. Now, the thing about that is that people saw things going on, but they did not say anything because, again, they were afraid that they were going to be called racist. So that's the problem here in this country, is that people become so paranoid that if they say anything about a minority group, then right away it's a problem, you know, that they're going to be called racist, etc. But as I've said on previous shows, look, we got to learn to start speaking up. Let the police go and investigate it. They will keep your name anonymous. Trust me when I tell you. As a police officer, we got calls about certain things, and what do? We go and investigate, and that the informant we say is anonymous. So it's okay. We need the information. Again, if anybody has any questions or comments about any of this, they can call at 818-602-4929. All right? So at any rate, moving on with this, that was considered the deadliest mass shooting in the United States since 2012, the Sandy Hook Elementary School. So you see how these things all tie in together in terms of the time frames. So we keep going. If you listen close enough to some of these events when they happen, we're always moving to see if this now is the deadliest one. Every time something happens, it seems like they're surpassing the previous numbers. What does that tell you? All right. I mean, are they looking to specifically, you know, create this carnage, so to speak, so the numbers are greater? This is why I tell people about traveling around in groups and being in groups at concerts and malls and things of this nature where there's a large, you know, contingency of people. And we can't help it. That's just the way that we live in this country. I get it. But that's why you got to follow the safety tips. Stay on the outside of these big groups. All right, so that you can move easily or find a barrier, things of that nature if you have to. Now, that was considered the deadliest shooting, as I told you, since Sandy Hook. Now, here's what's interesting. That occurred since the 2011 attack, the September 11th attack, obviously, because we know that that terrorist attack killed thousands of people. Then the Orlando nightclub shooting, which happened in June of 2016, that one even surpassed this one. So you see that these numbers continually go up. They're going up. And, you know, we've got to help law enforcement. Now, the FBI, they're doing a lot to be able to help in this area to be able to try to head some of this off. So we have to understand that we need your help. Now, the police response, just to let you know, because in the training sometimes people want to know, you know, how quick do the police respond. In that particular case that happened in San Bernardino, it took 3 minutes and 32 seconds for the first police unit to respond to the shooting following the initial 911 emergency call. Now, two police officers with the San Bernardino Police Department arrived almost simultaneously, and then other ones arrived shortly thereafter. Now, understand something. They don't always just get to rush in. Now, if you remember recently about the Borderline Bar and Grill out in Thousand Oaks, California, where the police officer got killed. And the Borderline perpetrator killed all those people. And then we had a response from the local sheriff's department there, Ventura County Sheriff's, as well as from the Highway Patrol. So those two officers arrived there. It was just released now that the police officer that got killed may have been killed, it looks like, by friendly fire, because he was shot 4 times by the perpetrator And apparently the wound that actually killed him was from the highway patrol officer who's now on a leave of absence. Now, this goes back to what I was trying to tell you about how, you know, and going back to Just Curious, you know, in the earlier email about the CCWs as an example. On past shows, what have I said? It takes a lot to be able to control your fire when you're in a panic situation and things of that nature. Now, I don't expect police officers to panic and think, you know, I mean, because they're supposed to be trained. But here's where a fellow police officer accidentally, you know, fired his weapon, not actually fired his weapon, but accidentally shot the other officer that was there. But who knows the circumstances? That officer could have moved in his way as he was firing. So I'm not criticizing this other officer because we don't know the intricate pieces of what happened in that particular situation. But it just goes to show you that just because you've been trained or you've taken courses or you go to the gun range every week, it is a lot that when you're actually in those scenarios to think that you're going to be able to accurately take care of the perpetrator. So, again, I still say that I throw the same cautions out there. Be careful, all right? And I'm not trying to beat the dead horse, but, you know, so to speak. But I'm just telling you, it's just not as easy as you may think, all right? So the bottom line is the motive. Why did these people do it? Because you always have to look at the motive. Now, earlier with the Sandy Hook situation, we don't know the motive. And that's where the conspiracy people start to run wild because we don't know the motive. In this particular situation with the San Bernardino attack, the investigation found that the perpetrators were in fact inspired by the Islamic terrorist and terrorist organizations. And there was actually a Senate Judiciary Committee that looked into this. And then at that time, the FBI director, who was James Comey, does that sound like a familiar name? He's been all over the news lately, said that they were talking to each other about the jihad and martyrdom. So they found this out off the internet, of course, after their situation, after the event that took place. Now, before their engagement, according to Comey, and as early as the end of 2013, they did spend at least a year preparing for the attacks. And this is what we also tell people. Look, these things just don't happen on spur of the moment. There's signs out there. You have to look for the signs, see what's going on. How has the person changed? What are they doing? And then that information needs to be reported to the authorities. These guys even took target practice and made plans to take care of their child with the mother that morning. You know, so they took the child and dropped the child off, at her mother's house before they did what they had to do. So now, according to Comey, he said, we can see from our investigation that in late 2013, before there's a physical meeting of these two people, which is Farouk and Malik, resulting in their engagement, and then their journey to the United States, they're communicating online, showing signs in that communication of their joint commitment to jihadism and martyrdom. See, understand also that they have, since the original attack, there's a lot now that the government does on this, what we call open source, all right, where they do the, they're looking on the internet, so it's open source intelligence. And that's one of the things that I was working on when I was with the Sheriff's Department on their open source intelligence team. And that is getting on the internet. You're looking for certain things. And these communications, that's what they're doing. People are using the internet. That's why when something happens, the first thing that these guys do is they go in there and they get their computers, get the hard drives, or in some cases, some of these individuals destroy their hard drives because they know that they've been on with this and they don't want any trails leading back for whatever reason. So, you know, these individuals planned this, and it was a year. A lot of people died that year, you know, from these shootings in December. Well, you know, in the month of December. Like I said, the first one was Sandy Hook in December of 2012, and then this one was in 2015. And the ages of these individuals with lives were snuffed out. The youngest age was 27 in San Bernardino that got killed, and the highest one was 60 years of age. And then all the numbers were in between. So I'm sure at this time of the year when the rest of us are celebrating Christmas and the spirit of goodwill and the rest of that, there's families, unfortunately, out there that have sad memories of the month of December because they may have lost their loved ones as a result of the actions of these kind of individuals. So at any rate, that's my you know, look back into history regarding two sad events in the month of December. So, again, the reason why I like to bring these back up from time to time is because I don't want people to forget these things, and we got to keep being vigilant in terms of what we're doing and how we're looking at things out there. Okay, now, here's what I want to do. I want to talk to you about the 10 most holiday crimes, the 10 most holiday crimes. So if you want to take out your pens and your paper and start listing them now, I guess you could do that. And if you have any questions as I'm going through this, give us a call. Again, 818-602-4929. Now, look, we understand that the holidays are a joyful time of the year, but it's also, I'm telling you, it's a peak time for criminal activity. Criminals actually do take advantage of the seasonal chaos and people's giving nature by committing some of the worst crimes imaginable. It's true, all right? And I want you to be prepared for that. And I'll tell you that even though police are out in droves at this time of the year, because they know that criminals always seem to find a way to ruin the holiday for somebody, right? That's just who they are. They look for the easy way to gain a buck, so to speak, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, Christmas packages, as an example, on your, on, you know, that's being dropped off. You know, make sure those things are being dropped off either at your place of employment, if you can do that, if your place of employment doesn't mind, you know, or obviously, you know, somebody may be home at the time, or even if you have a neighbor that doesn't work, maybe retired, possibly they'll let you have the package dropped off there. So at any rate, let's look through the first thing. This first one to me is very, very important, because it's an old issue that has continued on the rise, and it's called identity theft. Look, we hear in the news, it seems like every few months, where some people have hacked in and stolen identities or stolen information from these major corporations. And it's always beyond me how some of these guys get in and steal identity information on people that have used their services. I think Chase was one of the ones recently. There's a few others, to make a long story short. But identity theft is a risk for virtually everyone during the holidays, guys. Thieves are online and offline waiting to steal your personal information, your credit card numbers, and social security numbers, and they use it to commit crimes. Thieves can steal your identity in various ways, such as skimming, phishing, pretext, and believe it or not, old-fashioned stealing. As common as identity theft is during the holidays, there are many ways to protect yourself and your finances from being compromised. Review your monthly statement. So when you get that statement, go back and look at it to make sure everything on there was something that you, in fact, charged. All right? So take a look at it and review your credit reports and securing and making sure you always secure your personal information. I can tell you my wife is very anal about anything that we get, junk mail, anything going in the trash. She makes sure that our names and our address, et cetera, are not on there. We got two packages delivered the other day from Amazon. We didn't order anything from Amazon. And in those boxes were things that we knew we didn't order. But there was no label inside the box or any information inside the box to tell us, you know, who in fact had sent them to us. And nobody had called and said that they had sent it to us. So what did she do? She started checking the credit card. She started checking with Amazon to find out, in fact, why did we get these boxes? And, you know, did somebody use our card? Did it get sent to us accidentally? What the case may be. And after about two or three days, we finally got a call from a relative that, in fact, had mailed those to us as a surprise. So it was good to know that. But we went through, I should say she went through, you know, the checklist to make sure that none of our credit cards, et cetera, or what was up with Amazon to be able to send this to us. So, you know, you have to be able to do those kind of things. Now, I'm going to tell you, watch out for shoplifting. Shoplifting is one of the most common crimes committed during the holidays. Now, look, I know I've got people out there that are working in department stores, et cetera, and shoplifting is just big. It's big all year round. There's no doubt about it. But during the holidays, with shoplifting, it's an all-time high during Christmas. Shoplifters have more opportunities to take advantage of the large crowds and distracted workers. Now, according to Adweek, one in every 11 people engage in shoplifting, all right? And it's in full swing right now because of the economy. So that number could be a lot higher. So for those of you that are in the business, you know, where you're in a store, you work at a store, shoplifting is going to be on the rise. For those of you out there that are thinking about doing some shoplifting, don't do it. Don't do it, because we'll be looking for you. All right. I know when I was working patrol, I've had to go to places and go out there and pick up people that were shoplifting. I remember one time I took a lady in, because we don't, when this is a shoplifter and they have store security, they're really the arresting officers or whatever. We just transport. And the woman had money in her purse. I mean, she had a lot of money in her purse. It was amazing to me. She was trying to steal a pair of jeans for her daughter. Why not just pay for it? Why not just pay for it? But anyway, people will do what they can do to get away with things. Next on the list, this is no surprise, robbery. Robbery. Let me tell you, the holidays are a hot time for robberies because of the increased cash volume and the distraction of the crowds. There's nothing surprising about that. Robbers are well aware of the fact that people carry more money on them during the holidays, and they will go to great lengths to try to steal from people on the street, in parking lots, and other public places. So look, make sure that when you park, because it gets dark early, so park in well-lit places. Some of these stores, that the outside lighting is maybe not that great. So make sure you can park as close to the front door as possible. All right, make sure that you're looking around. I don't want you being paranoid. I just want you to be aware that when you're walking towards your car, have your keys already in your hand. So as you approach your vehicle, all you do is just click the unlock button, okay, and then the lights come on. Think about it. When you do that, the lights come on so you can see if anybody's around your vehicle, because the lights come on, all right? And just get in your car quickly, get your packages in there quickly. If you don't have packages, just jump in quickly and immediately lock the door when you get inside, all right, because they're out there. Now, people have turned to crime to solve their financial problems, and they do see robbery as one of the quickest ways to do that. All right, especially around the holidays. Everybody doesn't have credit cards. Everybody doesn't have, you know, checkbooks. And some people don't even like using their credit cards during the holiday season. You know, they want to pay cash, so they're not looking at all of that, all those holiday and the interest and things of that nature, you know, come January. Oh, my God, how much did I spend? Oh, I wish I had paid cash. So people carry the cash. All right, so please be careful. Be aware of your surroundings. All right, and look. As I've told people, it doesn't hurt to carry a little flashlight in your car. If you're out there shopping and it's a place that you go frequently and you know it's dark, it's not well lit, whatever the case may be, hey, it's okay to carry a small flashlight, all right, as if you're using it to watch, you know, where you're walking, etc. You can flash that flashlight around. And let me tell you something. People that are thieves like that, they don't want to see light, all right? They thrive in the dark. Okay, next one, drunk driving. Drunk driving. The holidays are a time for fun and celebration. We all get that. But I'm telling you, they are unfortunately one of the most dangerous times to be on the road. Drunk driving is extremely common this time of the year, folks, and fatalities related to alcohol-impaired driving, it goes up every single year. So be careful. All right? Now, I know we can't control what somebody else does, so my message to you is that for you to be careful with drinking and driving, because if nothing else, you can also get yourself a ticket. You can get thrown in jail. It's a crime. But if you're impaired and something happens, then you may accidentally hit somebody or may not be able to get out of the way if somebody does something crazy out there, you know, on the roads as well. So be careful about driving and drinking during these particular holidays. I can tell you, my wife and I, we really, even around the holiday time, we don't like going out to places late at night. Because of the fact that people are out there drinking like New Year's Eve. A lot of times we'll just stay home and just, you know, watch the New York festivity come on board. And then now they're doing LA Live. We'll watch those kind of things. Or we'll go to a restaurant, you know, and stay there. But we do it within a short distance of our home. I mean, it's just, you have to be careful these days. So drunk driving is one of the ones on the list. The next one, vehicle theft. Vehicle burglaries, people, are a problem all year long, but it's far worse around the holidays. Thieves know that shoppers leave expensive gifts in the car and that they could be gone for hours. So what does that mean? That means you go to shopping at Tiffany's, okay, and here you have this in there. Now you've got two other stops you have to do. So now that item that you left in the vehicle is a very expensive item. You leave it in there and your car get burglarized. They call them car burglaries, just like the home. So somebody breaks in there and they steal the packages. Don't be leaving things out in plain view in your car. You know, take a blanket along with you, like a dark blanket as an example. And if you're going to have some packages and things of that nature, take the dark blanket and cover them up. People walking by, when they look into the car, they don't necessarily see anything because it's dark. But they can see those packages because what are the packages? They're white bags. So white's going to stand out. Other colors and things of that nature like that that are light is going to stand out. So carry a dark blanket with you or dark something, even dark towels, dark sheets, you know, whatever. Well, I don't know if you have dark sheets, but you know what I mean. So at any rate, they know what you're going to do. The good news is drivers can prevent auto burglaries by taking some simple but effective preventive steps, just like I just showed you. All right. Make sure the doors are locked to your car as well. You hide the valuables and you hide your keys as well. You do all of those things. Don't just take it for granted just because you live in small town USA. All right. It doesn't make any difference. Wherever you are, that's how you do it. They will break into cars if they see something in there. If they don't see anything, chances are they're probably not going to do that. Here's one that you need to be aware of also, sad to say, rape and sexual assaults. Believe it or not, reports of rape and sexual assaults have increased during Christmas time. This is more than likely due to the increase of parties and alcohol consumption that takes place during this time of the year. Women who engage in heavy drinking have a greater risk of becoming a victim of rape or sexual assault. When alcohol or drugs are involved, people's judgment becomes impaired and they may find themselves in more dangerous situations than when they are sober. So you got to be careful out there, ladies. You know, don't drink as much. I know you want to get out there. You want to have a good time. Some people like to go to the clubs and things of that nature. You're meeting somebody for the first time and you have no idea who that person is, but you're having a good time and you never know what may happen. All right. So look, you know, try to maintain some of the alcohol. You know, obviously I'm not an advocate of drugs. You know, try and stay away from those things. Now we have, you know, where we have legalized marijuana, and I think it's either 9 or 11 states now. So people, you know, do smoke and things of that nature, add alcohol to that, who knows? But you got to be careful, ladies, all right? And I will also say for those business owners and managers and supervisors out there, just remember about paying for alcohol at the Christmas, at the annual Christmas parties or holiday parties, whatever you prefer it to be called. Because if you buy drinks for your employees and one of them goes out and has an accident, trust me when I tell you, you know, you have a good chance of being sued as a result of that. The next one up to be careful about, home burglaries. That's a concern any time of the year, but once again, it's especially bad during the holidays. Burglars tend to break into homes that are easy to access, and they usually steal items that they can quickly and inconspicuously carry. It's things like laptops, other kinds of electronics, jewelry, and cash. The risk of being burglarized is always there, but homeowners can take effective measures to protect their house and their belongings. You have to be able to do that. You know, I encourage people to have home surveillance systems. You see a lot of TV ads now on these kind of things. They know it's around Christmas time. They can look in the window because you know how you like to have the, you know, the Christmas tree in the window and, you know, with the curtains open. And now somebody, when you're not home, can glance in there and see all those gifts around the tree or the open gifts around the tree, because sometimes people leave things there until the tree comes down. Just keep those things in mind. Get rid of those things. Put them away or close those drapes, whatever you have to do. Another one, counterfeiting, believe it or not. Every year, unsuspecting shoppers get duped into buying counterfeit merchandise. See, you thought I was going to say counterfeit cash. No, counterfeit merchandise that you think is genuine. The counterfeiters profit by tricking consumers into buying knockoff items and illegally downloading music, movies, and television shows, etc. Not only do these criminals steal from consumers, but they also cost legitimate companies a great deal of money. Counterfeiters often use these profits to fund other illegal activities. So make sure that, I know you're trying to get that deal. Here you are trying to buy that beautiful watch for your wife. Some guy walks up to you, opens a trench coat up, and now there's 10 different watches hanging from the inside. Hey, I've got a deal for you. Here it is. Hey, remember those days, guys? But at any rate, You know, the point of the story is they say, hey, listen, here it is. You know, they're showing you these designer watches, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get a really good deal on that. No, no, don't do that. Buy your items, you know, in a legitimate store and make sure that it's, you know, not a counterfeit. Don't be buying this stuff from people off the street. Don't let them dupe you into some of the stuff. Music is the same way. People want to sell these CDs that they've pirated off the air, et cetera. And I know it sounds like a good deal and all of that, guys, but look, do it the right way. Don't get caught up in it. The next one, scams. Scams are very common during the holidays when unsuspecting shoppers give money to a phony charity or enter a bogus sweepstake. Scammers will tug at your heartstrings and take advantage of your giving mood. It's Christmas. Everybody wants to feel charitable. They will take advantage of it. And they also prey on naive and desperate people who are easily lured by deals that seem to be too good to be true. Look, if it's too good to be true, don't do it. Don't do it. Shoppers can protect themselves from these sneaky scams by doing a thorough research on a particular deal or offer before giving any money or personal information to anyone or to any site that's out there on the internet. Scams are big, people. All right? Don't fall for this. You know, W.C. Fields say you can't cheat an honest man. Now, let me tell you something. It's true. That statement holds true. And, you know, don't be thinking about things like that. What's the best deal? How can I save money? Look, it's Christmas. You're buying something for a loved one. Don't be looking for the shortcuts, because if you do that, chances are you're going to end up on the wrong side of something like that. All right? So watch out for the scams. The next one, domestic violence, people. Domestic violence is a growing problem during the holidays, and experts actually believe it's an increase with the stress of giving, okay, of gift giving, celebrations, and the close proximity to the family. Alcohol and drugs only add to the problem and put more people in danger. So the holidays, okay, domestic violence, it has a tendency to exacerbate family tensions, drug use, financial woes, causing people to act out in violent and destructive ways. So what do they mean by that? It is simply the fact that they're stressed out. They can't afford to buy the things that the kids may want, things of that nature. People feel upset. I don't have a job. You know, I'm the man of the house, as an example. And, you know, I feel bad the fact that I can't do these things for my family. Stress levels are high. So the domestic violence situations, please calm down. Don't go in that direction. It'll make for a worse holiday. Because the last thing that you want to do is be in jail on Christmas Day, you know, as an example. That, you know, you don't want to have to be in jail on Christmas Day. All right, and now your family's worried about you as well, even though you may have engaged in some of this unpleasantness. All right, so there it is, folks. Those are the 10 most common holiday crimes. Be extremely careful. Please turn around and think about the things that we just talked about and don't get caught up on some of these things. It's all about safety, us warning you to be safe. Now, earlier on an email that somebody wrote to me, they talked about this business about violent crimes against children and online predators. And let me just tell you something. A lieutenant colonel just got busted within the last 48 hours because he was online with some teenager and was going to meet her at some hotel. And as it turns out, guess what? It wasn't really a teenager. It was the authorities. It was an undercover situation, and now he's got busted, and there goes his military career right down the tube, so to speak. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to have enough time to go through all of this that I want to talk about, and I'll talk about it next week, but I want to put something out there to you. I'm going to start putting certain things out there for links, okay, where you can go to certain websites, because, and again, I'll come back next week, because I want to talk more about this violent crimes against children and online predators. Because I know it's unthinkable, but every year thousands of children become victims of crimes, whether it's through kidnappings, violent attacks, and sexual abuse, or even online predators. And there's organizations out there that will help you with these things, help you to safeguard. So look, Twitter, I'm going to be putting certain links on my Twitter. Okay. So here it is, twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. I'm going to be putting links on there from time to time where you can go to see some of these things. So even after the show is over, and you can also follow me because I do put things out on Twitter as well, you know, reminders about safety. So, you know, go to twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. You know, follow me on Twitter, and you'll be able to get these links from time to time about different things that we're doing. Okay? All right. You've been listening to Jim Potts at LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show, folks. But let me remind you that you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. Be sure to join me next week. And look, honestly, if you like what you heard, do me a favor, spread the word. But in the meantime, be aware, be vigilant, and be safe. Thank you so much. Until next week, have a safe and pleasant week.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.